I'd like to look at a verse or two in the 15th chapter of John. The 17th verse says, "These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. These things I command you, that you love one another." I think that's very important, and probably more so as we go along, that we follow these words of the Lord. I think it would be naive for us to say, "I don't need." I think it would be naive of me to say, "I don't need you." But the Lord said to love one another. And that to me seems as if the Lord is saying, learn how to love one another, accept one another. You've got to learn how to accept one another's love. Give one another love. It's not just that the Lord said that He could have said it, that you love your brother. He has said that. But this He said, that you would love one another. That sounds like that the Lord was interested in there being a relationship. Something that goes around. To me, to you, to me, back and around. Love one another. As you give, you get back. The necessity of it. How valuable it is. But He went on and to say something else that almost says that there's a reason for this. You're going to need one another. Yes. You're going to need one another. Don't you think or believe that the world is going to encourage you in the Lord? Yes. There is a lot they may do, but when it comes to encouraging in the Lord, they're not going to do it. We need one another. To lift up one another, to help one another, to encourage one another along the way. I was especially, amazed by this. I never thought of this scripture at the time, but we was at home and some things happened around me, and they was people that I knew was disrespecting me, not for anything evil that I had done, just because of who I am. By the way I live my life, they showed a certain amount of disrespect towards me because of that. And those things touch you. Oh, yes. I felt that. I didn't want that, but I felt it. And you know what came to my mind? I was getting ready to come out here. And I'm saying, I told Linda, I said, I'm leaving their world. See, I was in their world. We've got to live in that world. But I was in their world. And I told my wife, I said, I'm leaving their world. And I'm going into my world. I'm going to somebody that loves me. That I'm confident that there's love one to another. I'm going among a people that understands my battles. They understand what I feel. They understand why I think the way I do, why I dress the way I do, why I communicate the way I do, why I'm cautious about certain things, why I don't go certain places, why I don't watch certain things, why I don't listen to what the world does. They know that. They already know that. You know what? That's what the Lord is trying to say when He said, love one another. Love one another. Because the world's not going to sustain you. They're not going to encourage you. They're not going to help you. Don't make yourself an island. Don't make yourself a loner, because you're going to need one another. There's going to be things happen and you're going to have to depend on somebody else's prayer. You think the world's going to pray for you? You think the world's going to come on and say, lift your head up, Jesus is with you. The Lord's with you. The Lord will help you. No. No. And that's why He's encouraging the saints to be that way. Be long-suffering with one another. You're going to need Him. You're going to need that one. Be long-suffering. Be patient with one another because you're going to need Him. You're gonna need the group. You're gonna need it. God made it that way. You're gonna need the body. There's gonna be come a time in your life, possibly, that you're gonna cry and say, pray for me. Oh, help me. Lift me up. Encourage me. And there's somebody there that understands and knows. The Lord said of the world, if the world hate you, it does. I'm aware of that. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Changes my perception of the way I was treated. It does. It encourages me. You know what the Lord was saying here? You are going to have a certain amount of disrespect on you or you're not living right. You're going to have the resentments of the world. You're going to have the rejection of the world because it's natural that it be that way. If they done it to me, they'll surely do it to you. But what it suggests is that if they do it to you, there's something there that you should realize that you're stepping in my steps. You're truly following my path. Do you know that's true? People disrespect us many times because they reject Jesus. They reject the truth that He brings to people's lives. They reject that. If you were in the world will love his own. Lord, help us. You'll never get anywhere by seeking the love of the world. In order to do it, you'll have to compromise the truth of the Lord. When you say, I don't like to be disrespected, I want to be accepted. And so therefore, I will, as much as I possibly can, I'll smooth over the edges. I'll make it seem as though I'm as close to them as I can because they will reject me if I don't. You've got to be like them. This is what the Lord is saying in this passage. They'll love their own. There's something of matched spirit there. There is always something that goes against the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of the world. It is always opposing each other. People they don't understand me. You understand me. When somebody, I was telling Brother Dan, I was talking to a guy, I was in a Best Buy. And I was walking around and I was in there with my boys and they was looking at some technical things for their laptops or something. They was dealing with that. And I walked around this thing and there was a display and a setup there. And I kind of just trying to go around it. But a guy, he kind of come out there in the aisle to catch up with me. And, hi, how you doing? He was a salesman. Hey, how you doing? Well, I'm doing pretty good. How you doing? Oh, real good. And where are you from? Oh, I tell you a little bit. And he said, got a great deal for you. Got a great deal. And he said, what kind of system do you have now? Said, we got this good system of a direct TV or a satellite TV. He said, what system do you got now? And I said, I got a no system. Got a no system. I don't got one. No system. Do you know he looked at me like, come on with the joke? It was like, and I was like, I don't have, and he said, you really don't. I really don't. I really don't. And I know what he was thinking. Oh, what's this? But you know what? You understand, don't you?
Yes.
Do you understand? Do you understand why I'm cautious in those areas? Do you understand why I don't want that to disrupt my home, my family? You understand that? You ever think about it that way? You ever understand why I don't want to be manipulated by the world? I don't want to be, I don't want what they're trying to sell. I don't want it. I'm not saying that everything is absolutely evil. I say I don't want influenced by people from Hollywood. I don't want influenced by the way the world thinks. I don't want the cosmos, if you will. That's what the word meant. The aura or the arrangement of things. That's what the world meant. The way things are arranged. The spirit of the thing. I don't want it. My wife and I have talked about it many times, about what we will do and what we want. And you know what? We always come to the same thing. We like our world, our life. We like what the Lord's done with our family. We like our evenings. We like to get together. We like that. I don't want it interrupted. I don't want to have to defend against what might flash up there. I don't want the nudity. I don't want the lust of it. I don't want it. And because I don't want it, it makes me different. Because everybody around my in the world wants it. And so when I say that, I'm not demeaning anybody. I'm not putting anybody down. I just don't want it. And by me saying I don't want it, they're going to look at me and say, well, you think you're better than I am then. No, I don't. You understand me? You understand me, don't you? That's why we should have love one to another. You understand? I don't want those things in my life. If you want to try to get the world to love you, you better not cross them. Because if you cross them, you're not going to be loved. If you were in the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Now the Lord made that. Remember this word. Remember the word that I said unto you. Remember this. The servant isn't greater than the master. What happened to the Lord in this life will befall His people. What the feelings of those that were in the world, what it done, they'll do it to them too. Do you know that the Jewish nation and the Gentiles had almost nothing in common? But they did have one thing in common. They hated the Lord. They could agree about something. Do you know there's a rallying point?
Yes.
In this modern world, there's a rallying point among all that's out there of the world. You know there's a rallying point? There's all kind of religions. There's all kind of dogmas. There's all kind of theories. There's all kind of politics. There's all kind of thought out there in the world, philosophies, and it all can come around to get. They can join up forces in one point. They hate Christianity. They hate Jesus. And you know why? Because the Lord came and He touches the places of people's lives. He touches their lust. He touches their carnality, their hate. He touches those things that they're holding dear to themselves. And when we come along as an ambassador of Christ and reaching out to those souls that are out there, folks, if they're in the change in their life, they don't get anything. Salvation is a deliverance from those things. Salvation changes you. If there's no change, nothing happens. There's no salvation. The world's going to hate us. They'll hate you if you live right. One scripture says that they that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution because the world hates Christianity. They hate the idea of Christ. And do you know, I can take it farther than that. And I'll leave the details. But there's a lot of false Christian thought that joins forces with the world to fight against true Christianity. And it says, don't judge me. Don't you judge me. You can't make that judgment. If you dare stand for some of the basic principles of today, if you stand for those basic principles, you'll be persecuted. Now, I'm here to tell you, not that I'm no great scholar, but the Word of God condemns homosexuality. I didn't condemn it. I'm nobody to condemn it. I ain't God that didn't create anything. But God that did condemned it. It's unnatural. It's unholy. But to stand for that in 2013, you get by with it. But you might not later. It's coming hard. It's coming fast. It's still set eternally. Or I say, as far as this world stands, that the Lord said that He created male and female, created He them. I don't need the Supreme Court justices to tell me what marriage is. I know what it is because it was ordained of God. A man and a woman. How many? One. Until death do you part. It's founded in the Word of God. I can stand on it. People don't want to hear that you can only have one. But the Bible still declares you can only have one. It's the Word of God. The way of life is in here. And why does the world hate it? Want to stamp it out? Why is it such in the crosshairs today? Because more and more people are condemned by their lives because of the words of God. So let's get rid of God. Let's get rid of the truth. Let's stay out there. I'll accept the religion as long as we can say what it is. If I can interpret it, that's okay. But the Lord told us this. I wrote down what Adam Clark said about it. He said, the hatred of the world is proportionate to our faith. Think about that. The deeper you go in it, the more they'll hate you for it. As long as you say, I believe there's a God somewhere, you don't get much persecution for that. Because about 87% of the United States still believes that there's a God out there. You're better off to think it's an aura or an energy force. Energy forces lay no morality on anybody. They just are what they are. They're an energy force. Out there somewhere, there's an energy force that broke loose and created a universe that people call God. But that don't lay morality to you. That don't tell you that there's a way of life, see? And as we believe strong and become more like the Lord, the more the persecution comes. That's why they persecuted the Lord. You know, the Lord came and started telling them what the truth of their religion was? Those Pharisees were legalistic and they strained at the truth. They wouldn't take it. They wouldn't accept the Son of God and all that. And Jesus came and right there in the religion, He came not to destroy it, but to fulfill it and bring the good news of the gospel to them. And they did not want to hear it because it challenged them. You mean I can't take money from the poor anymore? You mean I have to live a certain way? You mean I have to be clean from the inside out? It's not just good enough to have a religious order or follow a certain order and not have it right in your heart. It don't work. And the Lord come and put His finger on it and said, you got to have it from the inside out. I'm telling you to love one another. Don't oppress the poor. Love God with all your heart and have it from the inside. And they gnashed their teeth on Him, did He not? Didn't they hate the Lord for what He was and what He stood for? Let me read you another scripture. 10th chapter of John. 31st verse. It says, then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. Now I want to bring a point out here. If the world is going to stone us, let's give them a good cause. Let's not give them a legitimate reason. Jesus, they didn't have no legitimate reason, but it says the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" And I want you to think of this. Jesus went about doing good. I'm thinking particularly of the 8th chapter, and you can turn there, I won't. But it's the 8th chapter of Matthew, I believe. That starts off by the Lord healing a man of leprosy, I believe. Then a centurion comes to him. The centurion comes to him and says, "My servant is sick with the palsy." And the Lord healed that servant. Then he went to Peter's house and his mother-in-law was sick. And Jesus with fever, and Jesus healed her of the fever. Then I believe, if I'm not mistaken, after that, there was many kind, and the Lord healed all those that was possessed with devils, and all of those were sick, and He touched them. Then He got in a ship and was crossing the lake there, the sea, and a great storm came up, and that's when the Lord said to the waves and all around Him, "Peace be still." And the sea and the winds obeyed Him, and they said, "What manner of man is this, that even the elements obey Him?" And then He went to the land. In Matthew it doesn't say Gadarenes, but I think it's in the other Gospel. They say He went to the land of the Gadarenes. And there, in Matthew it says of two men that was in the tombs, possessed of the devil. And so Jesus goes to the land of the Gadarenes. And He finds He's possessed of the devil. And they said to Him, "Lord, do You torment us before our time?" And then they asked the Lord if they could, not to destroy Him, but go in. And He bid them to go, and they went into a herd of swine. One of the other chapters said there was about 2,000 swine there. And when they went into the swine run off of a steep hill and run into the sea, and all of them drowned. Jesus did all of these wonderful works for the souls and the blessings of men. Touching them, helping them, bringing them around, bringing them. In the other book it said, when they come back, these other ones come back, that the man that he had got the legion out of was sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed in his right mind. Who wouldn't want that man around you? Who, is there anybody here that don't want this one that I'm talking about in your presence? What a one to have with you in all those things. But do you know that the people of the land of the Gadarenes that lost their hogs went to, and told them what had happened, and they come back, a great throng of people came back to the Lord and besought Him that He would leave their coast. We don't want you here. We don't want your kind here. And Jesus didn't, but He could have said, "For what work of the Father do you bid me to leave?" Which one of them got you? You know what got them? There was men there that were brought back normal. The great blessings of God, they should have looked at it and said, "What hope belongs to this man?" But they didn't. They said, "Leave, please. We don't want you here. Because we're swine herders." Alright? We're swine herders. And you killed our swine. And we'd rather have swine. You know what the truth of the Lord is? He honors no. The terrifying thing tonight is that the Lord honors no. You know what He did? He left the land of the Gadarenes. And He left the man that was there, there. Thank the Lord that He did and told them to show the wondrous works of God. But Jesus Himself left the land of the Gadarenes. And why? And think about it. Why doesn't the world want the Lord? with all that He does? Can't they look and see? Why do they hate me? Why do they hate you? I don't talk bad about them. I would do anything to help people. I'd do anything to encourage people. I don't do anything but try to live modest and honest and faithful. Why do they hate me then? Because we touch their swine. We touch the flesh. We touch that fat of their life. Jesus, there was a song that says that about Jesus passing by. It always makes a difference. It always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. It does always make a difference when Jesus passes by. And sometimes He kills off your swine. People love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We can't have it both ways, folks. We can't have swine on one hand and the Lord on the other. We can't have the flesh on one side and the Lord on the other. They're they're opposed to one another. You can't have it. It's impossible. So what do we choose? For which one of the works of my Father do you stone me? Why do people hate the Ten Commandments? I mean, they at least can be indifferent about it. There's a real opposition in our world against the Ten Commandments. They're trying to scratch them off of every courthouse, wall, everywhere. Why? Which one of them's offensive? They all make human life better. Are you offended that somebody shouldn't steal? Only if you're a thief. Are you offended at one that says not to commit adultery? Only if you live in it. What about idolatry? That might get you. Which one of them hurts our call? Which one of them is a detriment to our society? Thou shalt not kill? How about 50 million babies aborted since 1973? Is it offensive that thou shalt not kill? Which one of them is it that's so despicable? What's so harmful of a representative? What is so harmful of the nativity scene that shows Jesus being born? Why do so many people care? You can do anything else. You can do anything hideous as you want in this world today. But don't put the nativity out. Really? And why not? Are you afraid? Are they afraid of the words that was spoken to the shepherds? Good tidings, great peace. What is it? But it goes all the way back. Consider this: why they hate us? Why did Cain hate Abel? Goes way back, don't. Why did Cain hate his own twin brother? Never think about it? I mean, enough to murder him? That's deep, isn't it? That's hatred, isn't it? Why did he hate him? Abel made an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord, and Cain didn't. There was something about Abel that Cain could not stand. It challenged him. You think you're so good. I'll show you what good is. You let me get a chance. I'll take care of you good. He killed his own brother. Started a long time ago, didn't it? It didn't end with that one. Remember old Saul? Remember King Saul? He hated David. Why? Why would you hate David? Saul was in a real jam affair with Goliath, and David got him out of it. You ought to have been thankful, but no, he wasn't thankful. And I know he got envious over them women out there. Well, I wonder if there wasn't something deeper than all that went on with old Saul. Envy, jealousy. Maybe the Lord's hand was on him. Maybe the Lord's hand was on David and his life. And Saul hated him enough to try to pin him to the wall with a javelin. Despising, chasing, trying to destroy him, trying to kill him, trying to mark his name. All those things. And why? Because there was something of God in David that the world couldn't stand. There was something of faith in there that he couldn't stand. What about Joseph and his brothers? Why did they hate Joseph? They hated him because his father loved him. They hated him because he was chosen. He had a blessing on him. His father loved him, and they hated him for that. Cain needed Abel. Cain needed Abel. And he never got the privilege of having it. They needed him. What better way to say, I need to find God? Abel, how do you do it? Isn't that right? He told us to love one another. Be there for one another. Help one another. Don't envy one another. Don't look at one and say they're blessed. You need that blessing. You say, one, the Lord's hands on them. I want to find out why. Maybe that blessing could come to me too. Cain needed Abel. Saul needed David. I think it's so ironic that Saul was killed by a foreign enemy. Because the women sang, Saul killed his thousands. But David killed his ten thousands. Hey, who do you want protecting you? Who would you like in your army? The thousand guy or the 10,000 guy? Saul needed David. Else David, the Lord wouldn't have gave him to him. Saul needed him. What he could have learned. The chronicles of Saul and King should have been a great chronicles because he had a great man under him that he could have benefited from all the way through. Yes. And instead he hated him. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we're still the light of the world. The world's hope is still Christ. They need good saints around them. They hate us, but it's their need. Joseph's brothers needed Joseph. Aren't you glad that he didn't act like they did? Folks, that's what I'm saying. Which one of the works of God are you going to stone me for? Joseph could have said to brothers, which one of the works of God? Which one of the dreams that I interpreted, that God interpreted, do you hate me for? But at the end of it, it was at His hand that they lived. God made it to be that so, that way. God, these brothers needed Joseph. He was their salvation. He was their deliverance. They made it because He was there. And the same spirit that He had back there was the one He still had. He didn't change. They had to come to the acknowledgement that He had put in that place. He had prophesied that it was going to happen. God knew it would happen. And God told it and foretold it. And He come to that place. And oh, did they need Joseph now. And I'm glad for what Joseph said. Because he said, you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. Yes. Love one another. Be faithful to one another. Yes. You're not going to get it from the world. They're going to hate you and despise you and try to destroy you. But we need one another. Everyone that God puts in our lives is needed. I need you. I need you to pray for me. I need you to back me. I need you to support me. I need you to be long-suffering with me. I do. I need you to forbear me in my old human ways. The things that I have. We all need that. This is what the Lord's great lesson was. Don't try to get it from the world. It'll lead you astray every time. They're trying their best to convince us there's nothing to this old way we're living. They try to convince us that there's somehow something better, or that there's some reason that we should want to be like the world. But according, and I believe this is true, that it's proportionate. If I just go to Sunday services on Sunday, I won't get persecuted. I go to Sunday services, I listen to the preacher, and then I go and live any way I want to. I do what the world does. I watch what they watch. I go where they go. I act like they act. I do all those things. And then I remove all the persecution out, even though I may go to service. And as the more I accept the Lord's ways and listen and follow the ways of the Spirit, the more the world begins to hate me for it. The more challenging it becomes, and the more despised we'll be. But He's still God. He's still God. I know in my own testimony, I've seen some people get pretty rough before they got better. I've seen them hate and hate and hate. And then the phone ring. And there's this person on the other end that says, "Will you pray for me?" Sometimes it gets pretty bad before it gets better. But folks, if they're going to throw stones, let them throw it because we're living like the Lord. Amen. "For which one of the works of God do you stone me for?" You know, in the first century, that was the big testimony of the first century church. They had, I read this in the back of Brother Carl's Bible. I think he had a Thompson chain Bible. Maybe some of you have one. And if I remember right, it said something like this. Christians of the first century, they wouldn't go to the theaters. You know, the Romans was known for their theatrics. I didn't write this. It was in the back of his Bible. Historian wrote it. The first century Christians wouldn't go to the theaters. And they wouldn't go to the Colosseums. They had all kind of competition and games and stuff. And they wouldn't go to that either. They was noted for one thing. That if somebody got in trouble, they was noted for coming and helping. They was noted for being the ones that fed people and helped the sick out and went in and helped those that were in distress. That was what it said in the back of that Bible. So which one of the works of God did they get persecuted for? For they was greatly persecuted at that time. Which one of them so bent people out of shape? Was it feeding the poor that done it? No. Well, they didn't care about the feeding the poor. Or was it helping the distressed? Or maybe it was taking in the poor orphan children that was there. Maybe that's what they got it. No, people didn't care about that. They didn't go to the theater. That got them. They didn't go to the Colosseum and to the games. That got them. They were despised because they're not swineherders. And swineherders hate that. Don't get rid of a pig, see? You're not going to mess with what I am and what I do. But the Lord's called us to something better. And I use swine. You know there's nothing wrong with pigs. As a matter of fact, I had bacon. I like bacon. I was going to say this, Sister Maxine. There was either bacon in the salad or in the pie. I don't remember. But I tasted bacon because I remember saying, "Oh, that was a good bite. That was bacon." That's not it. In the Jewish, the worst thing there was a hog. It was dirty. It was filthy. It was unclean. That's the symbolism. The world will hate you. But oh, it's blessed. The other thing that resonates this, and I'll end with this, that I appreciate about this, what the Lord was encouraging us with, is that we might know when we're persecuted, that our feet are in His tracks. That was the Lord's encouragement. Instead of being downcast by the persecution, we should lift up our eyes and know the greatest glory is on me. I'm in the path. I'm in the path. They hate me for the righteous and I'm in the path. Thank you, Lord. You gave us a way of knowing. They hated you? Then let them. Oh, Lord, please. Let them hate me. That's what He was encouraging us with. I'm your Lord, and they persecuted me. I had a greater witness than you do of the gifts that I had to give than you have. I blessed, I healed, I gave great hope, and they despised me. And they'll despise you too. And so when you get that despising upon your life, be of a good cheer. You stand in my footprints. I'm pleased. I'm pleased with you, my child. You're doing it right because you're getting the ire of the world. And I'm going to say this in all fear. It's easy for us to try to dull that down. It's easy for us. I'm not talking about being obnoxious or arrogant or anything else. But we can try to numb down the sense of our Christianity around us. We can numb it down. I know that the sisters get this more than the brothers do, but you sisters stand out more than we do just because of the culture around us. Do you know people know you're religious? Oh, they can't look into your heart. Nobody can do that. But they can sure tell you're religious. They can sure tell that there's something there that drives you to do something that's so much different than the world does. But it's a great testimony. It is, because people can look and say, there's somebody. They don't understand us. They don't know. They persecute it. But it's there to see. And it's like saying to me, oh Lord, that's what I want. I've actually had people come up to us. We get it regularly. On a fairly regular basis when we're out, somebody comes up to us and asks us where we go to church. And I never said I went to church. I never said that. They said it. Just recently we had a guy come up to us and said, hey, where you all? We was in Alabama. We was down there in Birmingham. And the guy comes up to us and says, hey, where'd you all go to church at? I never told him went to church. He looks and sees we go to church. It's a witness. Yes. It's a witness to show it. But all I'm saying is that if we're not careful, we try to take away that witness that we have. Why would we? Do you love God? Do you love the cause? Do you want to do it? I wouldn't want to take that witness away. Maybe it's a sinful witness, but it's a witness. It's a witness of people that care about modesty and holiness and the things of God. Why would I want to diminish it or take it away? So Lord, help us in this time that we don't try to fit in with the world. That we don't try to take on the things of the world to smooth the vision that we can be accepted in the world. I worked for years on a public job, and I want to tell you, I was faithful. I was faithful through that. The Lord blessed me, and I ain't saying I was perfect. I'm saying I was faithful to the Lord. And do you know what I found? I found when guys first came, we had a lot of turnover in the job I had, and we had a lot of people coming in, and I noticed that every one of them, almost to a T, that came in, despised me. They looked at me as like something strange. They was asking the other fellows, because they'd tell me sometimes. They was wondering about this guy. But do you know what? At the end of it, over and over again, by the end of it, God helped me to win their respect. And I never gave in. They respected. They ended up learning respect. So I say tonight, Lord, help us with this. Let's love one another. Let's stand true to the Lord. Loving one another is walking in His footprints. Loving one another is to love God. We know that. We can't love one another if we don't love God. When we can love one another, it's because we love God. The more we love God, the less we'll care about what the world's thinking, and the more we'll love one another. We stand for a cause. When I let it down, I let it down for you. Do you ever think of that? When I mess up, I mess up for you too. It's an awful black mark when I mess up, or you mess up, or somebody else messes up around, because we're all united together. And people are going to look at it that way. Lord, help us to be true and genuine. I want to be real. I want to love God. And if I love God, I'm going to love my fellow man. This didn't say anything about that He said that they hate you, so hate them back. He said they will hate you, but He didn't say hate them back. He said, walk in my path. Go ahead and love them. And love one another. And tolerate one another. And pray for one another. When you see somebody's faults that you might want to jump onto, you know how the flesh is, pray for them. Lift them up. Encourage them. love one another. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.